McGill University invests approximately $9 million in weapons-related companies. Companies that manufacture missiles, jets, drones, and surveillance systems that are used daily to target and massacre Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip and the occupied territory.
After over 70 days of its setup, the Gaza Solidarity Encampment in McGill was dismantled on Wednesday by a private security firm in collaboration with the City of Montreal and the SPVM. Members of the encampment received an eviction notice around 4:30 a.m. that day. Deep Saini, the president of McGill University, said that a firm they had hired to investigate the camp had discovered 2 overdoses, discarded syringes, rat infestation, garbage, rotten food, fire risks, as well as flammable materials next to tents. However, in a press conference, a spokesperson for the encampment said that McGill mischaracterized the camp and has utilized photos of syringes that are present on the public street of Sherbrooke and pretended it was inside the camp. They also questioned the legal legitimacy of McGill's operation because a Quebec Superior Court judge denied the university's request for an injunction to dismantle the camp in May. He cited McGill's failure to show that there was an urgent need to dismantle the camp in his decision, despite the health and safety concerns raised by the university. On Thursday night, protesters rallied in Square Phillips to protest against the dismantlement of the McGill encampment. Over loudspeakers, police ordered protesters to disperse and called the protests unlawful. They then used tear gas and pepper spray on protesters that remained. The demonstration led to 1 arrest. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
You're listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO 1690 AM. We are here with our guest of honor, the only guest for tonight, Mateo from the 514. How are you doing, Mateo?
I'm doing very, very good. It's really, really great to be on the show. I mean, I've been thinking about especially the dream I've had in regards to this show for the last couple of weeks, and I've just been so excited counting down the days until it was actually going to be able to say it live. So super excited tonight.
We're so excited too. We're so glad that we were able to make this work. And we're here tonight with all 3 of the Dreamscapers. I can't see all of you, but I feel you behind the screen. I feel you. You want to say hi?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. DJ Nod over here. And it's been a while since the 3 of us haven't been at the radio together, so I can join in the excitement that Mateo is feeling. And also, we are always grateful when we have guests. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yes. Oh, sounds.
Interesting.
Maybe there are sounds. So do we want to start off with like a song and then go into the dream? Or Mateo, do you feel ready to just share a dream with us?
You know what? Maybe we could play a song first, yeah, and then I'll sort of ease slowly into it.
I like it. Okay, so we're gonna play a song and come right back. You're listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO. We're on every Tuesday after Ashes to Ashes. We're gonna listen to a song.
We'll be right back.
You're still listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO. We're here with Mateo from the 514. Your show is on Mondays.
Mondays at 3 p.m.
Oh, actually, let's say that again when you're...
Mondays at 3 p.m.
Sorry, it's been a while since I've been on the board. Do we want to talk a little bit about your dream?
Yeah, for sure. Where should I just start, straight from the beginning?
Yeah, walk us through it.
All right, so... my dream just kind of started. There wasn't too much of an introduction, but it started in what I remember to be a restaurant. And it's almost like I was going to meet up for what at the time in the dream, what it really felt like. I was seeing someone who I was in a long-term relationship with for a day. And when I mean long-term, like years, that sort of thing. At least what I presumed in the dream, just based off of the vibe I was feeling from the other person. It was like a very, very strange thing, because at the start of the dream, I didn't really seem to know them that well. And I sort of had to convince myself like, oh, okay, this is normal in this dream. And another weird thing is that like where we were, it was a sort of restaurant, but it kept changing like location where we were. Mm. Like we were still in the restaurant, but it would either be... Sometimes I would look over and it would be on a beach, and then other times I'd look over and it'd be literally on the side of a mountain, like inside the mountain on a cliff.
Whoa.
And it was just, kept changing between these two. And so I'd be in the middle of talking with them, and they seemed to get kind of more and more disinterested and annoyed with what I was saying. And every time I might like look out, and when it was in the mountain setting, there'd be a net so nobody could jump over. And at one point in the mountain thing, I remember looking over, like, in the far distance. And for some reason, there was a blue balloon. And I was actually talking to you guys before the show now. Like, that was, for some reason, such a key defining feature that, like, I vividly remember that image of the blue balloon. And so the date, or what I assumed it to be, sort of, it just kept continuing. And at one point, I excused myself to the bathroom. And when I go to the bathroom, I ended up in my high school gym, which was really, really bizarre. And when I got in my high school gym, for some reason, I was wearing was shoes, red shorts, specifically red shorts, and like these like black, fully like aviator shades, while being like completely shirtless for whatever reason. And I actually, in the high school gym that I was in, I saw my high school teacher. Like, he was with a whole class of kids, like, in high school.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, what's up, Mateo? Like, it's been so long. And it very much felt like, that's the only part where it felt kind of outside the dream. Like, it was a moment of, like, that felt like a conversation I would have in real life 100% with my gym teacher. And I was just, like, catching him up. And I remember at one point in the dream, I kind of looked over to some of the kids doing the class, and there was one kid that said, that guy looks cool, which made me laugh a lot, because I like how that's sort of my own like egotistic side coming out. That, but it's funny how it's like in my mind, what looks cool is the approval of a high schooler.
Right.
But, and then at one point that just happens, and then I walk out and I'm instantly back in the restaurant on my way back to the table. And when I make my way back, the person I'm with is instantly like furious, like really, really upset. And I'm like, I'm really confused. And she's like, I don't care, we're done. And then she leaves. And then this is the weirdest part of the whole thing, which is outside of the dream, after that happened is around when I woke up. But when I woke up, I was like super anxious. I'm like, oh God, I need to like apologize to this person. Like, I must have really messed up. But it took like 30 minutes. Like for 30 minutes when I woke up, I like went on Instagram and tried to search up their name. And instantly I thought, wait, I don't remember. What was their name? And I got really, really confused. And then I tried to remember back. And I realized in the last week that I remember in real life, that person hasn't been a part of it at all. And then at the end of these 30 minutes, I realized not a single part of them was real.
Yeah.
Or based on anything. There was not a single part that was real about them, which was really jarring.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Which, like, because it genuinely left me feeling like I was genuinely, like, anxious, the type of anxious you get when you know you mess up.
Yeah.
And it was, like, it was absolutely terrifying when I woke up. But it was really, fascinating, which is the main reason I wanted to come to you today.
Do you want some first impressions?
And oh,
some,
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So first of all, thank you for sharing your dream. Very cool dream. okay. I did have some. Okay. First of all, I appreciate that your subconscious added nets on the outside of a restaurant that was near a cliff. I think that is like very safety conscious, and I respect that. The whole aviators, like red shorts thing, sounds like a teen movie, like maybe a John Hughes or like a you know, like Ferris Bueller Day Off. I can't talk anymore.
Kind of thing where it's like they kind of show up to high school. And it's like, I forgot my shirt, or
just
that kind of
some kind of weird shenanigans that only happened in 80s movies. So that works also with someone saying that you're cool and just like the gym. I like that. Do you remember what this person was arguing with you about?
That's the part. I don't remember too much about the conversation. Yeah. But what I do remember is that it was incredibly surface level, the conversations. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very, like... But it was weird because the vibe of it was that I had been seeing this person for a really long time.
Yeah.
But it was the type of long time where it looked like... Not only did they not know a single thing about me, but they were tired of me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very exhausted of me. They had no intention of being there whatsoever.
Okay. I mean, that is a realistic thing, too. Like,
I think we've all sort of been there at one point or another in our lives.
For sure, yeah. do you remember what she looked like?
I remember her being French. That was a very particular, which is entirely possible as well.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry. And I've been sitting on this, but this really... So this is the second time somebody has come to the show with like a dream world girlfriend that is French that they kind of think is real. And maybe they kind of are real. You had a breakup with yours. The other person, they're still searching for this person because it's the love of their life.
Oh, I see.
So I don't know what is going on in the dream world right now, but this is the second time.
What I will say is that it's entirely possible too, because I have had relationships with girls who are French.
Sure, yeah,
in the
okay.
past, so it's possible that it's really that. But I like it more, the idea that it's like, in some way, this was like picturesque. To me, like, this is in some way like a manifestation
mm-hmm.
of what my subconscious thinks is like, but it's weird though, because even when I was like perceiving it in the dream and like you know, seeing them for the first time, I was very like
you weren't into them.
I don't know if it's that I wasn't into them, but it was more that it's just like, it's more that it's just, I just didn't recognize them. And I think it was the confusion of that. It was just so confusing, the fact that it's like, I've never seen this person before, nor have they been in, like, my, I guess you would say, like, idyllic, like, fantasy of what an ideal person would look like.
Yeah.
According to what I like.
Okay, so I'm just going to voice something, and then I can't make eye contact with Jade for the radio listeners, so I don't know if she's ready to say something or not. But the thing that's standing out to me, I'm about to lose it, so I'm just going to talk for a second and hope it comes back. Okay. You didn't recognize her in the dream, and you didn't feel any accountability to her in the dream. But as soon as you woke up, you felt like you did know her, and you did have a lot of accountability to her.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe there's something about that. Maybe it's like the dream is compensating for something, or it's like helping you feel something about what it feels like, a guilt. It feels like you woke up feeling really guilty.
Yeah, it was very much that feel. Like, it was a feeling of two things. It was the feeling of, like, I manifested it that I was, like, in a long-term relationship with them. So when I woke up, the idea of no longer having this long-term relationship made it feel like, oh, that's a void in my life. That's completely out. So that was immediately, like kind of crushing, because I'm like, oh, crap. I must have messed up. Like, what did I just lose? Because it was also funny, because it's like, I'm like, had to question myself, like, what did I just lose? Because I just don't really remember them.
Right. And you were both annoyed with each other. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's like you're just answering some of my questions, because normally we ask, we call them the dreamers, like when someone shares its dream. We tend to ask people, like, what was the feeling during the dream, and also when you woke up, because it can be the same, or it can also be different. I think you shared already that during, like, during the dream, you were kind of confused, right? Do you remember any other intense feeling?
Yeah, actually. The first feeling I felt was, like, fear, almost. It was, like, a mix of, like, uneasiness and fear, like, a feeling of, like, I don't want to be here right now. And I guess saying it now, it's making me realize maybe that had something to do with the fact that there were nets on the windows. The idea of you can't get out of it either. Because I remember now, I think the reason too, it was like, it almost felt like a relief when I saw my gym teacher at the high school gym. Because it's like, oh, I can like not have to freak out for a second.
The gym teacher is familiar. Oh,
and,
sorry.
I'm sorry, and validating. It feels like the date was invalidating, and being at the high school with your cool shorts and like people saying you're cool was like very validating. You were getting validated.
Maybe
it's the wrong word.
It's kind of funny though. I was actually talking about this dream with my mom the other day because I was curious what was her impression about it.
And we want to know too what her tell us.
Well, because the thing is, especially it's like it's not like it's like because you. I feel like without knowing, you could look at it two ways, where it's like, oh, like either it's like I was trying to recapture my high school prime in some way, or the opposite. And really, it's the opposite. Like I was very much like I was nor cool nor uncool in high school. I was very, very much like not anything. Like, I don't know. I had a very regular, uninteresting high school experience. Mm. So my mom said, like, maybe that's like what you kind of like wished in high school, almost like you felt a feeling of like not necessarily like envy, but that was like your idea of like how you would react to somebody else coming in like that at your age in high school.
Yeah.
And what you would probably you might have looked at them and felt like, oh, I want to be like that when I'm older. And so then it's sort of like now in this dream I put myself as the role of the person that I wanted to be like as a high schooler.
Yeah,
like which I thought was very interesting.
Like maybe there's some part of yourself that you are now that like your younger self would have looked up to, and your dream is letting you see that. Your dream is letting you say like, hey, you're growing into like a person. Like my 12-year-old self would have like given a thumbs up to this kind of person.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was interested. That's why when I went back into the dream, I went back with almost a feeling of more confidence. Of course, that's when it all ended.
Right.
But it was a weird feeling of like getting some it's like I got validated by like, and the way I pictured it too, I didn't just picture them as high school kids. I pictured them as like little kids. Like, I don't know, like I think it's also the way I view high school students now. Anyway,
right. Sure.
So, but they looked like six or like eight, like around there. And so it was just like a little thing of like, oh, that guy looks cool or something like that. Like I remember being that age and like, I would look at people who were like 19, 21, around there, and think like, oh, they're so cool. Like, that's my ideal. Like, I want to be that when I'm older.
Yeah. I like that. I also have a completely off-topic question, just because it came into my mind. You're at a restaurant. What were you eating?
Oh, that's a really good question. I wonder if the food ever came.
Maybe that's when you guys were just hangry.
That's actually an entirely possible thing.
I feel like so many couples break up over hanger.
I mean, it's a culmination of things, and then it's something completely unrelated that ends up being the straw.
No, I'm making a joke. Yeah. I mean, it's not just hangriness.
Honestly, I kind of true, though. Hangriness is a very, very real reason.
Jad?
Yes.
Do you have something to say? I can't see you, but I can hear you. Yeah.
I have a question about the balloon.
Yes.
What feeling did you have when you saw it?
That was a feeling more of like I was like relaxed, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Like that was one that it's like I looked away for a second and there was a blue balloon and it was a sort of almost like kind of chilled out nostalgic feeling.
Yeah.
Like a regular blue balloon, not like one that you can get inside
not hot air.
No, just a regular like party balloon.
Yeah.
Like, and it was one with helium that was like floating in the sky.
Single
a single blue balloon.
We like it.
Slightly dark blue balloon.
There's a beautiful French movie called The Red Balloon. So that is not really tying everything in, but just putting that out there.
But there was red in the
shorts were red.
Were red.
And shoes, right?
No. Oh, I don't remember the shoes, actually.
I feel like you said you just were wearing sunglasses and shorts, but maybe you were also wearing shoes, because that's a given, maybe.
I feel like I definitely was probably wearing shoes.
Wait, maybe I'm picturing something different. I was picturing you with red shorts, red shoes, and aviator.
The aviators, right.
But I think the shoes. What am I making up? I think the shoes had no specific color to them, as far as I remember.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
I had another. Yes. Also, like free. What? Like the first thing came to my mind about the restaurant changing of, like from mountain region to the beach. Mm-hmm. Do you remember being it in a specific country, or?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It's entirely possible that now that I think of it, I remember taking this one trip when I was younger to Gaspé, mm-hmm. with my family, and the mountains felt very specific to Gaspé, especially because it's like where I stayed, it was like on the top of this mountain, and when you went back, it was like, it's like the mountain was cracked. And, like, there could be something inside the mountain. That sort of feeling. And then the beach. The beach was the one that was the least specific, I'd say. That was one that felt like... But it was one of those, like, very sort of low-key, relaxing beaches. Like, a beach at a sundown. Hmm. That sort of vibe.
Okay. For sure.
Where it's, like, you know, it starts getting a little bit colder. You start just, like... All you hear is the waves kind of going by.
Yeah.
There's sort of that sundown effect happening. Yeah. It, like, the beach especially was, like, everything was a lot more relaxed and tranquil.
Hmm.
But so was the mountain, both in very different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious because I come from Ecuador where we have both those very specific regions, like the mountains and the beach.
Same thing here.
And, yeah. Because
I also associated with Argentina.
Okay, yeah, because being in Ecuador is very common to have this kind of restaurants that you describe in the middle of the mountain, like with a beautiful, kind of like by a cliff.
Mm.
And so I was picturing kind of that. And then when you were describing the net, another thing that came to my mind was like kind of this sense of danger, but then of safety.
Mm.
That
yeah.
I don't know if that's a bit of this... I don't know, themes came in the dream, you know.
I think the net is something that made me think a lot, especially because it's like, it's interesting that I not only did like my subconscious add that, but that was a part that I remembered of the dream, the fact that there was a net.
And it was over the window.
It wasn't really like a window. It was more, it's like there was like, all we had was like a ledge, sort of like kind of how the booth is here.
Yeah.
But, and there would be like a net sort of hoisted over, as if the net, almost like how like it would be a mosquito net, but made of rope. Hmm. Like it would be a mosquito net for humans, essentially.
Right. Okay. Like keep people
net.
In.
Yeah. Kind of like a fish net. Yeah. Yeah. Picturing. Yeah. A fish net sort of vibe, okay. Especially.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to a little ad break, maybe come back with some music and then keep talking. This is fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
A blast.
amazing. So I'm going to just put on some music and you're listening to CJLO. Dreamscapes, 1690 AM.
This just in. REVC is no longer on Thursdays. It's Mondays at noon.
Mondays at noon.
Music so good, you'll exterminate.
La 38e édition du Festival international du d'Afrique vous offre 6 jours de concerts et activités gratuites pour toute la famille du 16 au 21 juillet. Rendez-vous au parterre du quartier des spectacles et sur l'esplanade tranquille. Au programme, plus d'une centaine de concerts et animations, des ateliers de danse, des DJ sets et bien plus encore. Aussi, ne manque pas le marché Tombouctou et les promenades de saveurs. Et ce n'est pas tout, les concerts en salle continuent jusqu'au dimanche 21 juillet. Programmation sur festivalnudafrique.com.
CGLO 1690 AM. 25 years and we're still getting louder.
Hey,
fucking Titanic. Well, no one dances, rides, or fights, or fucks, or makes love quite like me. Said Jack in Titanic. And no one sees your blazer jacket fall on your hips like I see. Said Jack in Titanic.
Yeah.
listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO 1690 AM. We just came up with some very interesting information. One, there were friends in your dream,
friends of whoever this person was.
Imagined partner that were around. Do you remember anything about that?
I remember it being... Oh, no worries. I remember it being a sort of, kind of a posse sort of dynamic, where it's, mm-hmm. They were sort of falling around, and it was a very, gossipy mindset. I think then that probably makes sense as to why then I went to, a high school gym, that sort of high school feeling of, especially because I knew that it's, I was clearly uninteresting to this person, and their friends would sort of, kind of glare in agreement.
Whoa, okay. So it was like a mean girl situation.
Sort of, yeah. I think that would be a good way to describe it.
Okay. And we also established that your high school gym is a high school gym that I would know also.
Yeah, because you taught there.
Because I taught there, but I didn't. I was never your teacher.
No,
I would have.
No,
we would have remembered that. But that is that's a very big gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you were saying, yeah, well, we were talking about how it's kind of kind of a safe space, maybe not quite a safe space.
I would say it's more like I was very, very introverted in high school, incredibly introverted for the entire first, I would say 3/5 of my life. I know it's very specific. The first 3/5 of my life, I spent them incredibly introverted, incredibly I wanted to mostly be alone. And the only friends I really did have in high school were the friends I had playing soccer in the gym at lunch, I remember. I would always go there to just, take out any stress. And I suffered from, tremendous anxiety in high school. And that would be my way of taking it out. But I still very much, I was holding myself back tremendously still, though, when I was in, when I was, hanging out with those friends. Because it's, especially with student athletes, the issue is there's a tremendous amount of, homophobia that's passed around the locker room talk and all issues pertaining to that. And so it's I hated being around those people, and so I would be but I would only hang out with them just because of the fact we would play soccer in the gym.
Yeah.
But so I was always still masking. I was still always very much withholding how I actually wanted to be, my actual mindset and what I would act like. But so that would even affect the way I would dress or the way I would talk, all different areas of my life, even music, funnily enough, I would felt I can't listen to certain music around these people or they're going to make fun of me, that sort of environment. But the only escape that I had was the gym playing sports.
Okay.
Because there it's nobody cares who you are. That was the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say something.
Go for it.
You know how we were saying at the beginning we like to, not really analyze dreams, but we look at symbols. And I think the gym and the restaurant are two of the, in my opinion, one of the biggest themes in your dream. And they are both very social spaces, public spaces. And to me, it seemed like the restaurant was kind of maybe a bit of provoking anxiety, or it was kind of stressful. And then you went to the bathroom, but it transitioned also did you end up going to the bathroom or you just turned into the gym?
Funny.
That's what I'm trying to remember.
It was just on my way to what I thought to be the bathroom. My whole dream just shifted, and it ended up turning into the walkway that I remember at my high school gym. Because the way with my high school gym would be is you'd be outside in the student lounge area, and there are these steps that go down, and it just turned into that. And I opened the door, and I was in the gymnasium, exactly how it looked in high school. Yeah.
So it can also be kind of this. I think what your mother was. Trying to make sense of it, kind of going back to your childhood, not childhood in this case, your adolescence, I guess.
Say I was sort of a child.
Yeah.
I was 13, 14.
Yeah, I mean, it's Montreal's weird for that, right? You start high school when you're 12.
Yeah, because we don't have middle school. And so it was just I went directly from being in sixth grade in elementary school as a little 12-year-old to going to high school at 13.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, I won't go into me. Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
No, and then just you, I mean, you know, we always say the dreamer at the end makes, like you, at the end, we can give you ideas, but you are the one who, you know the most. Like you were sharing with us how even in the dream it felt like you were masking, right? Like you all of a sudden were wearing this kind of weird clothes and so I don't know.
Like clothes just completely different, like to what I like it's funny that in my subconscious of my dream that was what I pictured as a quote unquote cool.
Yeah.
When it's like, especially it's like, well, like for example, you, Nina, you see me. I don't dress like that as an example.
No, yeah. Today you're not wearing that. You're not.
I'm actually wearing the opposite. It's long sleeve shirt.
Blue. You're also wearing blue.
Yeah.
By the way, also I looked up what a blue balloon might mean, and according to this internet source, a blue balloon is featured in your dream. Is an omen of peace in your life. A blue balloon.
Interesting.
It's important to feel that you're more grounded, and there might be aspects in your life that you need to understand better.
Also, this is another piece I completely forgot to mention.
Yes,
it's kind of big.
I love it.
About 2 weeks later, I was hanging out with my friend in Jihuahua Park, and we saw a balloon going by.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, what color?
I think it was purple.
That's not that far off. It's like, you know, we'll take it.
Which is also interesting, because how often do you see a purple balloon? I feel like I never see a purple balloon.
I think balloons are maybe a symbol to look
and
for.
And how is purple made?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Red and blue.
Art therapy.
Oh,
art
wow. Therapy. That's insane. Oh, my God.
Yes.
We studied for 2 years and got master's degrees to tell you that red and blue balloons make a purple balloon. Red shorts
and
a blue balloon.
Well, it shocked me.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that.
I do remember another thing about art therapy. Because, you know, we tend... Every person has its own meaning of colors, right? Blue, more general, tends to be like associated with sadness. But in one metaphor that one of our teachers taught us, blue was more of the grounding color, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was this blue and red, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to go? Yeah. Okay.
You're bringing me back.
So this had to do with, so sometimes people think about, so we're going to go into like some therapy talk very quickly because it's boring. Or whatever. But sorry, guys. So when people try to regulate, like co-regulate, sometimes we think about calming down, but that's not actually what you should be trying to do. That's like kind of this oppressive thing that people kind of co-opt to be like, you should be calmer because we want you to be more compliant. And that's not actually what regulation is. Regulation is teaching your body to tolerate going between feeling activated and like deactivated. It's not the right terminology, but it's like it's getting some ease between, like, you know, feeling excited or nervous or anxious, angry, dysregulated. Thank you. Great. And more regulated, like, so you feel calmer. You feel like your breathing is more even, but it's not about staying in one state, even though people often talk about it or they conceptualize it as having to stay in this calm, regulated state. The teacher was talking about sort of having like a dock. And so there's like either, well, you can be deep in your feelings in the water, which is also a good symbol. So you're in the water, you're like deep in your feelings, or you're on the land, you're like maybe intellectualizing your feelings, you're numbing yourself to your feelings. And the dock is like how you go between those two things. Maybe some people are more like geared towards, like if we've talked about this before, people who are water signs, you're more geared to being deep in your feelings, deep in the emoting, which can actually also cover up real feelings, but we don't have to get into that. And, or you might over-intellectualize, you don't want to feel your feelings. So the dock is in between to like help bridge those things. And the red and the blue I think the blue is sort of like, I always associated the blue with the dock. Like the blue is like what helps you stay present in whatever the feeling is and build the tolerance, because you're able to go, the blue helps you tolerate the red feelings. Mm-hmm. Is that a good way? It took me 3 minutes to say this. Yeah.
Kind of like how the blue is like a self-regulation amongst the chaos that's going on, or at least it helps prepare you.
It's a way to ground. It's a way to help bridge and ground, and so a blue, it could be a nice memory. It could be something positive that you're going back to that helps you kind of titrate between a really big overwhelming feeling and helps make that feeling slightly smaller and more tolerable. That's red. Yeah. Because sadness actually could be a red feeling depending on how big it feels. I know this, we're going really deep into the weirdness of this, but so in that, in that analogy, red is often, it's like a hot feeling, maybe is a good way, like a hot, maybe not so tolerable, very big feeling, and blue is maybe easier to tolerate. Yeah. Yes. Is that what you were talking about? Yeah.
Exactly. So the question is, the shorts.
Is it a tolerable or intolerable short? Yeah. No, it seemed tolerable.
It seemed definitely tolerable. I think it's interesting. I also should preface that I do actually own red shorts.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, no, of course. Everybody should own a pair of red shorts. Yeah. That is what we're taking away from this episode. Mm-hmm. But so I'm just going to nuance what I said about the red. Red can also, sometimes people get stressed out because they're so happy or they're so excited about something. And you actually can sometimes learn, or something that people learn to do is to tolerate feeling really, really happy or feeling really validated or feeling really seen by other people. Because sometimes if you're anxious, it can be anxiety provoking to feel those things, but actually it's okay to feel those things. So I don't know if that helps complicate it even more. But maybe in that moment, it's you were getting some kind of really nice attention. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if I had to compare it to something of I like to almost think of it the sequence where I was in the gym and with the red shorts and everything like that was almost like a daydream within a dream, because that was almost my own way of being able to self-regulate this very anxious experience of being telling myself I am capable and I am validated and I don't need to worry, so that then I could continue and go back and sort of relax a little bit more.
This was your red short moment was your blue moment.
Yeah.
And your blue balloon moment was your red moment.
Well,
maybe it wasn't red though. Maybe it was just boring or uncomfortable.
Well, I like what Jade was saying before of how the balloon, there's kind of this, I mean, you want to say that there was this net that feels
tight.
Yeah, and makes you, I don't know, it's constrained while the balloon is going freely.
Yeah, maybe the blue balloon was still being a blue moment. Sorry, Jade, I'm going to just stand up so I can look at you while I'm talking to you. So maybe the blue, guys, maybe we'll take a picture after. It's really going all over the place. Performance art. Maybe the blue balloon was still a blue moment. Yeah?
A reminder of, because you saw the blue balloon after coming out of the gym.
No. I saw it before, but it was, it's interesting. It's when I saw the blue balloon, it was a happy feeling. It definitely gave me a slightly euphoric feeling where it felt incredibly peaceful and picturesque and beautiful to look at. But it was almost it's within a red moment, a little figment of blue mixed in together.
That's it. That's the titration. It's the dock. It's the dock. Okay.
A purple moment.
I feel I'm mixing the things. Yeah. But I like it. We mixed everything together and we have this purple balloon thing going on, and I think it's good.
The thing about the red shorts is there's lots of studies done about people who are dressed in red are often remembered the most.
Interesting.
Especially women, men will want to date them more than the others.
Okay. Continue.
So I was just going to say, maybe the red was just because you were feeling vibrant and cool and
standing out. Yeah.
Almost like peacocking.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the validation, you said.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. It was a feeling of oh, damn, I am cool. Like that.
You were being seen, right?
Yeah. And you had the sunglasses on, too, which is cool, because then you couldn't see. No, you could, but maybe it's so bright. It was I don't know, something was bright. We could we please go to a commercial break so we can come back and not get cut off at the very end of the show? Okay. I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And we're coming right back with the end of the show.
Vous venez d'arriver à Notre-Dame-de-Grâce? Voulez-vous apprendre le français? Êtes-vous à la recherche d'un emploi? Aimeriez-vous mieux connaître vos voisins? Depuis 2012, Bienvenue à NDG donne la bienvenue aux personnes nouvellement installées dans le quartier en offrant du soutien pour s'orienter, s'intégrer et se sentir chez soi. Soutenu par la communauté de NDG, Bienvenue à NDG est un organisme à but non lucratif qui a pour mission de faciliter l'intégration des personnes immigrantes à la vie communautaire de Notre-Dame-de-Grâce ainsi qu'à la société d'accueil et de favoriser les relations interculturelles. Nos services sont gratuits et nous pouvons vous accompagner dans plus de 20 langues. Faites partie de notre communauté. Allez sur notre site internet bienvenuendg.ca et fixez rendez-vous avec ton personne conseillère en intégration. En partenariat avec le gouvernement du Québec.
Honey, I'm home.
Why are you home so late?
I was listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
Oh, I can't stay mad at you. I was listening to CJLO too.
There's a certain sound always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. It's the sound that lovers hear when they discover there could be no other for their love.
Hi, you are listening. You guys can keep talking. It's okay. I'm just addressing the listeners, the one or two listeners. Hi. you're listening to Dreamscapes on CJLO. We just heard some music, actually, and so I just want to walk us through some of the music. And also, do you want to just say on air some of the stuff you guys have been talking about very briefly?
Why he chose some of the songs, you know, that were some of them related to the dreams.
Yeah.
It's some of them just kind of came about naturally, like especially earlier in the show we played Always On My Mind, which kind of for when I first properly heard that song was, we were talking earlier, it was in the newest Andrew Scott movie with Paul Mescal. What was it called? All of Us Strangers? Yeah, that one. And I don't know why I associate it like with a feeling of comfort, but also a feeling of melancholy. Very melancholy while also comforting. So it definitely, like, that was kind of going on in my head during the dream itself.
Okay.
And then now Happy Heart by Andy Williams. That's a song I've always associated with, like, I don't know, kind of being able to kind of move on and just look at something with, like, a good experience sort of feeling behind it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I guess, what was the last thing you were saying just about how the...
going back, trying to this kind of feeling I'm also blanking here.
You said something.
You just described it when a kid has a toy.
Okay, I remember now. Yeah. I was thinking about it, and it's like at the beginning of the dream when I was sort of bored and not really caring about this person that I was supposedly with for a very long time, and by the end of it feeling tremendous guilt and wanting, like, immediately, like, first thought when I woke up, wanting to text them and sort of just, you know, like, really, like, even though it was in a way, like, out of guilt, it was still a feeling of desire and want. Mm-hmm. And I kind of compare that to, it's almost like when you take a toy that a kid's playing with, a kid gets bored of playing with a toy, you take the toy away from him or someone else starts playing with it, they immediately want it back. Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of childish feeling of, like, oh, like, you're angry because a kid got his ball taken away.
yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's you know, humans are complicated. And
I was also trying as I was telling you, like, maybe it was also your desire to find a sort of closure that often dreams don't give us. by you trying to find this person and you know.
Yeah, I think the biggest feeling too is that like comparing it to with the whole thing of like, oh, like the people in the high school thinking I was cool. I think it was also sort of like this weird selfish defiance of like, they didn't get to know me, so they have no say if they think I'm cool or not. They need to know I'm cool. They need to, like, you know, it was this sort of like selfish and almost like anger of like no, like they didn't get to know the full me. Like I want to explain myself. I need closure on this because it's like, I don't care what they think of me, but I want them to know exactly what I'm like. That sort of feeling. And that's was like the frustration of it too. The fact that it's like there, which I feel like is a lot of people can relate with, that feeling of not being able, or at least you think you're not really able to portray what you're really like.
Yeah.
You're just off of another person's impression of you.
Yeah.
And so like we hate that feeling as humans. I feel we despise that feeling of like being misrepresented or being miscategorized, because I'm like I don't think that way about myself. People I like that like me don't think that way about myself, and you don't like me, so you don't know anything about it. It's like like rejecting it immediately, anything that we don't agree with about ourselves.
Yeah.
Or that we personally don't think about ourselves.
Yeah, you want people to see the you that you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but in high school it sounded like you didn't feel really like you could be totally that the person that you knew you kind of were.
Yeah, actually. I always felt that it was I would always get this feeling of like people would categorize me and make you know, impressions about me, where especially it's like I was like a very quiet kid, especially the first years in high school, and like I would be categorized by like not very quiet and not really talking much and being very introverted. And I was like really upset in my mind, because it's like, it's not that I just don't want to be, it's just that I feel like I can't be. And so I would internalize just that, really, like I was upset at the fact that it's like I was more upset at the fact that they weren't wrong, because to anybody who would pass me by, they would think the exact same thing. But inside, I wanted to show so much more, but I just didn't let myself, just based off the nature of the environment I was around.
Yeah, maybe in a different environment, you would. I mean, everybody has stuff to communicate, right? Whether they're communicating it or not, like talkative and non-talkative people. But maybe in a different environment, you would have felt more comfortable sharing what you actually thought about things, or, you know, how you actually felt about things. Yeah.
And with friends, like with like closer friends, like pre-high school, because what's nice is that I went to the same elementary school as my high school,
right,
like
yes.
It was kind of joint, but so I kept friends like from elementary school, and so the friends who I knew on that way, like knew me for a long time, and I was able to open myself up to, I like their opinions like coincided with how I viewed myself as well. It was very like I don't know, in that way it was very validating, and I would play with those friends in the gym.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. That was the validation point. Thank you so much for bringing your dream in.
Yeah,
it was,
of course.
such an interesting dream. High five to the art therapist for knowing that red and blue makes purple. We're gonna play Boys in the Better Land maybe to play us out, but before we do, we always do a moon report very quickly, just to say where the moon is in the moon cycle. Do you want me to bring up the percent of illumination?
Yes.
Okay, we are at 74% illumination, and there's going to be a full moon this Saturday. So
moon
will be full. It's considered an astrological blue moon, because it's in the same sign twice, even though it was in two different months. So, yeah.
Like double full moon in the same sign.
Exactly. And that always happens every year. One, but it changes every year which one. Yeah.
And it's the blue moon, you said?
Because it's the second one. Yeah, it's true.
The next year's a red moon.
Oh my gosh, it's true. But there are red moons. There's blue moons.
Yeah.
And whoa. Okay, we don't have enough time to get into that. But that's true too. Whoa. Okay, amazing. So yeah, so thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah.
Listen to Mateo's show. It's on Mondays at 3.
3 p.m.
The 514. And we're going to play Boys in the Better Land now. Okay. See you later.
alive on till you start kicking. When the room is spinning and the words aren't sticking. And the radio's all about a runaway model with a face like sin and a heart like a James Joyce novel. Saying sister, sister, how I missed you, missed you. Let's go wrist to wrist and take your skin off of a blister. If you're a rock star, porn star, superstar, doesn't matter what you are, get yourself a good car, get out of here. Well, put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Put the boys...